Welcome to Lunchtime Classics on Classical 90.5, broadcasting live from our performance studio in downtown Louisville.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Lunchtime Classics. I'm Carol Larson, and today we are featuring the Kentucky Opera and their Lunch and Listen program. The featured opera is Werther by Jules Massenet. And without further ado, we're going to introduce David Roth, General Director of the Kentucky Opera, who's going to take over the program. So help me, join me in welcoming David Roth.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you very much. And a special thanks to our audience for joining us today, both in the studio and out there over the airways, as we begin Kentucky Opera's live broadcast of Lunch and Listen. This is our partnership program with Louisville Public Media and Classical 90.5's Lunchtime Listen, Lunchtime Classics, excuse me, as well as Metro TV. Lunch and Listen is Kentucky Opera's opportunity to introduce our audiences to each of our opera productions through performances and conversations with the guest artists that we bring here to Louisville. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge our sponsors for supporting another great season of opera here in Louisville with the Kentucky Opera. First, the Brown-Forman Corporation, our season sponsor. Next, Greenbaum Dowell & McDonald, PLLC, our Werther production sponsor. Atlas Brown, our Champagne-level sponsor. And for their annual support, we thank the Galt House, Bluegrass Motorsport, Publishers Printing, Metro Louisville Kentucky Arts Council. And finally, we thank the Fund for the Arts and all our friends out there who contribute to the fund for their continued support of Kentucky Opera. So please join me, if you will, and show our appreciation for all these sponsors and partners. Thank you very much indeed. So on Friday, November 28th, and Sunday, November 30th, Kentucky Opera will present the final production of our Brown-Forman 2008 fall season with the company debut of Werther by Jules Massenet. The source of the story is Johann Wolfgang von Goethe's Die Leiden des jungen Werther, which is literally The Sufferings of the Young Werther, a novel of great acclaim, with its roots founded in Goethe's own romantic disappointment. In 1772, Goethe had fallen in love with a young woman named Charlotte Pouff, the daughter of a magistrate. She was at the time inconveniently engaged to another man named Kestner, 12 years her senior. Just as his character Werther in the novel, Goethe had his romantic hopes dashed when a year later Charlotte made the practical choice and married her well-situated fiancé. However, unlike Werther, Goethe did not commit suicide over his lost love. Another connection the novel has to Goethe's own life was that a friend of Kestner, Charlotte's future husband, borrowed his pistol and killed himself over an affair he was having with the wife of a diplomatic colleague. Because of the blaspheme of Werther's act of suicide, it did not take long for the novel to be banned by the Catholic Church. The novel became highly influential also on the youth of the day, allegedly affecting a rash of suicides in young men, as the character of Werther came to represent the tortured souls of struggling artists throughout Europe. In Massenet's capable hands, the story unfolds with great lyricism and possesses some of the most beautiful arias in the entire French repertoire. Although Werther has made it into the standard opera repertoire, along with Manon, Thaïs, this is the first time Kentucky Opera will present this opera by Massenet. Now, before we begin the program, I would like to turn our attention to the exceptional group of artists here in the studio with us today. We are delighted to have with us the cast, and I'll begin at the far end, Benjamin Robinson. If you would just stand up, Ben. He is singing the role of Schmidt. Ben is our resident tenor artist in our studio artist program. Daniel Collins will be singing the role of Johann. He is a former studio artist from last season, joining us again this season. Singing the role of the bailiff is our resident bass baritone, Connor Angel, joining us again for this role. Thank you, Connor. Coming down here, our Sophie for this production is Karen Vuong. Sitting next to him is Troy Cook, singing the role of Albert. And one spot over, we have Elizabeth Batten. She will be singing Charlotte in this opera. And finally, the title character of Werther will be sung by Gerrit Sorensen. So thank you, artists, for joining us today. Also with us in the studio for a bit of the conversation, we have Christine McIntyre making her Kentucky Opera debut with us as our stage director. Thank you, Christine. And also Maestro Joe Mekovich back again to join us for, I believe, your third production with Kentucky Opera. So, Joe, thank you for joining us as well. Now, Werther takes place in about 1780 in the outskirts of Frankfurt, where we meet the bailiff, a widower, and his brood of children who are learning Christmas carols. This surprises his friends Schmidt and Johann, who have dropped in for a visit, as it is July. We also learn that Sophie and Charlotte, daughters of the bailiff, help to raise their younger siblings. For our first number today, let's welcome to the microphone our bailiff, Connor Angel, Schmidt, Benjamin Robinson, Johann, Daniel Collins, and Sophie, Karen Vuong, as we get a little taste of the opening scene of Act One from Massenet's Werther.
Donne au pas Charlotte, mes amis, nous la verrons ce soir. Nous voulons faire un petit tour sur le rempart pour t'ouvrir l'appétit. Toujours il exagère, allons viens, il est tard. À propos, quand elle perd, vient-il? Je l'ignore. Il ne m'en parle pas encore, mais il m'écrit que ses affaires vont au mieux.
Parfait, Alpel est un garçon brave et fidèle, c'est un mari modèle pour ta Charlotte. Et nous, les vieux, nous danserons à Pedro Allen à la noce prochaine. Et bonsoir les enfants,
bonsoir les enfants,
à tantôt, à tantôt,
oui,
bonsoir, bonsoir.
Semper vivat,
vivat
Bacchis,
semper vivat,
vivat Bacchis,
vivat
Bacchis,
semper
vivat,
Thank you, thank you. Once again, that was Karen Vuong singing Sophie, Dan Collins doing the role of Johann, Ben Robinson doing Schmidt, and the bailiff sung by Connor Angel. So, gentlemen, welcome to Louisville. Yeah, thanks. We've had a chance to talk with you a little bit before in some of our other programs, but Ben, why don't we start with you? Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Hi, Ben Robinson. I'm a tenor from Raleigh, North Carolina, originally. Although I've bounced around to Michigan and down to Texas, and now I'm here, and I've been here since September with the Studio Artist Program.
Thank you, Ben. Connor.
I'm Connor Angel. I'm originally from Ireland. I've been in North Carolina for a number of years and then went to Indiana for undergrad, back to North Carolina for master's, and then I've been with this program since September.
Very good. And both of you are coming back again in the spring to do some of our educational outreach.
That's right.
That we have for 6 weeks in February and March. And then Dan Collins, welcome back, Dan.
Thank you.
You were in our Studio Artist Program last year.
I was.
You went back to Washington, and now
and
I guess you're
then
making...
I packed everything up and moved to Louisville.
Fortunate for us.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, yes. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You had an interest in coming back to Louisville?
I have a love interest in coming back. My girlfriend wouldn't keep me away in D.C., so...
Oh, and here I thought it was your love for Louisville.
And my love for Louisville is ever continuing. So.
Wonderful. Well, gentlemen, thank you all for joining us again. It's going to be a wonderful opera. We appreciate your support here. Thanks.
Thank you.
So... So back to the story just a little bit. Charlotte, the eldest sibling, is dressing for a ball. Since her fiancé, Albert, is out of town on business, she is going to be escorted to the ball by one of his friends, the young Werther. He watches her take care of her younger siblings and is immediately taken with her. They leave for the ball. Albert returns home unexpectedly, and is distressed that Charlotte is not home. Sophie comforts him and assures him that Charlotte loves him. He sings a beautiful aria about how his love for Charlotte brings a prayer to his lips. I'm pleased to welcome to the microphone Troy Cook, singing the role of Albert in the beautiful romance Quelle prière de reconnaissance et d'amour. Thank you, Troy. Beautiful.
My pleasure.
Not bad for a baritone with a cold this morning.
Yes, unfortunately, I hope you can understand me. My English will sound just as nasal as my French.
Your voice coach will be so proud.
I think so.
Yeah. So, Troy, welcome to Louisville. As I understand it, you're originally from Kentucky?
I am indeed. I was born and raised in Henry County in Eminence, born in Shelbyville, and went to Eminence High School, and I also went to Center College for my undergraduate degree in Danville.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, all very well known to natives of Kentucky, and certainly in this area. A little bit new myself, but areas that I'm becoming familiar with. Now, this is also your first time with Kentucky Opera.
That's correct.
And the first time singing the role of Albert.
That is correct as well.
Ah, very nice. Well, tell us about some of the other roles that you've been singing in your career right now.
I've done recently a couple of Lucias. I really enjoy singing that opera quite a lot. I did that in Kansas City. I did that.
And not the role of Lucia, but
no,
that would be.
No, of course not the role of Lucia. Especially not with a cold.
Yeah.
And then I also did that at an opera festival in the Canary Islands, which was quite an exciting,
interesting
place to go to, I must say.
Exotic, nonetheless.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And I know you have sung a number of Figaro's.
Barber Seville is something that I've done a lot. Marcello and La Boheme is something I've sung quite a bit.
Of course. In this particular role of Albert, why don't you tell us a little bit about his character? Since this is a fairly new opera for most of us, I want to find out a little bit about your individual characters, and so since we have you, let's start off with Albert.
Sure, he's the responsible one. He is the businessman. He's successful in what he does. And he is Charlotte has promised her mother, before she's recently passed away, that she would marry Albert because she knows that with Albert she will be safe and she will be well taken care of. And Albert actually has a very deep affection for Charlotte. But one of the things that our director and I have discovered, too, is that Charlotte is not necessarily the absolute number one thing on his priority list. It's the responsibility, it's taking care of you know, the family situation and the money and all that. That's really first on his priority list. So it ends up leaving Charlotte a little lonely.
That's an interesting take on it, too. As much as he does love Charlotte.
Absolutely.
And cares, as you said, very passionately
very for deeply her.
Yeah, deeply for her as well. And, of course, if this were an Italian opera, your character would be dramatically different or portrayed dramatically different.
Of course.
In a sense, if it were an Italian opera, he would be much more of an antagonist. And in this particular case, we don't really find Albert as an antagonist.
No, not at all. He has really no malicious intent throughout the opera. He gets a little jealous in the end when he finally finds out what's actually going on between Charlotte and Albert, but it's never intentionally malicious.
Right. Compare, if you will, from Lucia, it's Enrico, the baritone in
yes.
Enrico, and you sort of have the triangle there as well, Enrico, the brother of Lucia, and then Edgardo, the tenor, a dramatically different interpretation for a baritone. So Enrico, tell us about him.
Well, Enrico he's desperate. He's very desperate because his family's riches are at stake and his whole reputation of his family is at stake without marrying his only sister off to, what's his name? Arturo, yes, indeed.
Thank you, yes.
So it's a very different situation.
There's something greater going on than the personal interrelationships
exactly.
of the three that we have in Werther.
Exactly. And Lucia really has no choice.
Now tell us, even musically, how you approach Albert, the French baritone, from, say, Enrico, the Italian baritone.
Well, I think...
Is it a different style that you have to use as a singer, a different vocal style?
Absolutely. I think that the Italian style has the rhythms are perhaps stronger, and the dotted rhythms especially carry a lot more weight. In the French music, it's not quite as much. It's more lyrical. And I think even in the dramatic parts that you'll hear that Werther sings as well, it's the dramatic parts are different than the dramatic parts in Italian music. I guess one way of saying it is it's a lot smoother. It's a lot more connected.
Mm-hmm. The lyrical line
exactly.
is dramatically different in French music. It's certainly the late French music for you, the baritones. Great. Well, thank you, Troy, for joining us on this opera. Thank you for coming here and having your Kentucky Opera debut. It's
my great pleasure. You've made my mother
yes.
very, very happy.
How wonderful. Well, hopefully we can make her happy again and again.
That would be fantastic. Thank
great.
You.
Great. Thank you, Troy. Before we begin our next number, I would like to invite to the microphone now Christine McIntyre, who is also making her debut with Kentucky Opera. Christine is joining us on this production as our stage director. So welcome, Christine.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Before we get into talking about the show, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you've been up to as well.
Well, I'm a freelance director. I live in Portland, Oregon. This is actually the first time I've ever been to Kentucky. I spend a lot of time on the road working at a lot of different opera companies, but I've also spent a huge part of my career working in large opera houses, most notably the San Francisco Opera, where I was on the staff for 7 years. And I just finished 8 years as a staff stage director at the Metropolitan Opera. Earlier this year, I directed Traviata at the Met, went home for a couple of weeks, and then came here to Louisville.
And how fortunate for us you had this time off to come here.
I'm very much looking forward to this. Werther is an opera I've never directed before, and it's been a great piece to get my hands on.
Not too many people have a chance to get their hands on this piece. No, very seldom done, actually.
Absolutely. It's an opera that I've only ever seen once, and most people don't do it, even though it's got glorious music and even though it's actually a really good libretto. There are some operas we don't do because ultimately the storylines are a little silly or they don't hang together or the music isn't that great. And the curious thing about Werther is it's actually a very interesting and very passionate and well-thought-out libretto, and it has lovely music.
Yeah, and one could actually compare and contrast this to Gounod's Faust, which is another story based on a Goethe novel, and the problems with the Faust libretto that become problematic in dealing with that as a director.
Absolutely. I mean, this one's a lot more like a play, and something like Faust, you have, you know, a fantastical character, the devil, who comes and, you know, makes Faust make a deal with him. So you have opera in a very different way, opera in a sort of mythological vein.
Scenes that are not necessarily well connected in Faust that make it problematic in terms of developing a through line as a director.
Absolutely. Faust is basically a collection of different scenes taken from a very, very large source. And I think one of the reasons why Werther is so different is it's based on a novel that has a very much tighter, essentially, through line to it.
A nice arc through it.
A very nice arc, and it's a domestic story. So it's a story about people that we know, real people, that we can kind of wrap our heads around, really kind of sink our teeth into in that way. As you were saying earlier, there's no real antagonist. It's not that the baritone wants to kill the tenor, as it is in almost every Verdi opera that we've ever done. In fact, they're all friends. And one of the great tragedies of Werther is it, you know, this is something that happens amongst people who really respect and like each other. And the great sadness is that she simply marries the person who is not her soulmate, and the drama unfolds from there.
And let's talk a little bit about that conflict. You have had some conversations, and it's been interesting looking at Werther relative to what was going on in the 19th century and certainly art in the 19th century. And let's get into a little bit about that discussion of conflict, man versus nature, man versus man, man versus himself.
Werther is an opera very much about sort of love triangles, not only love triangles between the human characters in the piece, but sort of Werther's stuck in this conflict between what he wants to do as a sort of pseudo-poet, his relationship to nature. And when we say nature, we mean nature with a big N. This is the sort of big romantic 19th century notion of nature as a kind of force that if you get in touch with, maybe it'll tell you something about the universe. Werther talks to God a lot, too, and he uses sort of God and nature interchangeably in the opera. You're never quite sure which one he's talking to when he's yelling. At the same time, he sort of is outside of society. He's sort of a part of society but sees himself as somebody different and apart in the way that so many romantic poets went on to sort of see themselves in that way. So you have a character that's constantly poised between things and never sure where he fits.
It's interesting, too, that you have this German novel written in the late 17th century, the Enlightenment period, when the Enlightenists were considering man in terms of nature and man in terms of his relationship to God. And then you have the opera being written in the late 19th century when you have the development of Freud's theories and the development of the inner self and thinking about the conflict within oneself, which I think is developed very well in this opera, too.
Absolutely. And actually, the one thing that's interesting is that even though the opera is composed 100 years later than the book, you realize the book is sort of extraordinary in its psychological insights. Goethe realized that the suffering of the self was a topic worthy of conversation. It was worthy of art. And that's one of the reasons why he wrote the book. Massenet clearly felt the same way about the sorrows of Werther, that it was worthy of opera. And 100 years later, what had happened was you had been through the Romantic period. Everyone knew those poets. Everyone knew that art. Those ideas had become very much incorporated into Victorian society, to some extent rejected by Victorian society. And then Massenet brings it up again and says, no, look, this is an interesting way of looking at our relationship to each other and how we fit into the universe.
Have you picked up some other French repertoire from the 19th century? Have you directed any of the Gounod pieces? Have you done any of the Offenbach-like Tales of Hoffmann?
No, actually, I've never done. I think the only other French opera I've done is Dialogues of the Carmelites, which does not count as a very modern.
No, not at all.
Piece.
So compared to other pieces that you've worked on, this particular piece of repertoire, Massenet in general, what connects you to it? Do you feel passionate about it? Do you like it? Are there certain things that are problematic for you in this?
I love the fact that it is a domestic drama, that it's based on real people, that this is something that seems to be about us, even though it was written 100 years ago. For me, the fact that it has a source in literature is great because my undergraduate degree is in English literature, and it's always nice when it looks like I went to college for a reason. It makes my mother very happy.
She is so proud. Yes, not wasted indeed. Years.
I originally come from the theater. I have a master's in theater. So for me, having a piece that has a libretto that's this tight, that is this sort of psychologically adept, is something that I quite enjoy.
And it's so interesting, too, because, comparing it to some of the Italian rep, especially from the Bel Canto period, you have this sense that this is tied much more into the characters and their relationships to each other as opposed to what's going on around them.
Absolutely. This little village called Wetzlar that the piece takes place in could be anywhere. I mean, it happens to be in Germany and it happens to be in 1780. But when you see it, it won't matter to you because these people could live next door to you.
Well, Christine, we're delighted to have you. So well spoken. Thank you for enlightening us on this piece.
Very welcome.
And we hope to have you back again as well.
Thank you. I would look forward to that.
Now back to the story for just a moment. Werther and Charlotte return home from the ball, and he declares his love for her. He is interrupted with the news that Albert has returned home. Charlotte then recalls her mother's dying wish for her to marry Albert, leaving Werther in utter despair. So right now, please welcome to the microphone Elizabeth Batten singing the role of Charlotte, Gerrit Sorensen singing the role of Werther, to sing the duet from Act One, Il faut nous séparer.
Je rappelle à ça que vous nommez-vous aux enfants.
Hélas, oui, mes enfants.
Restez fidèles, moi
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Garrett. Elizabeth Batten and Garrett Sorensen singing the duet from Act One of Massenet's Werther. Elizabeth, of course, singing Charlotte. And I believe you have Werther, Garrett, if I'm not mistaken. So welcome both of you to Louisville. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
I would say welcome to Louisville, but it's actually a welcome back to Louisville.
That's right. That's
yes.
Right.
Yes. You originally grew up in this area, Elizabeth.
I did. I went to middle school and high school here at the Youth Performing Arts School as a voice major.
Hey, brava.
Yes. And I've actually been living in New York for the last 14 years. And so we're just now making our way back again.
Hey, wonderful. As so many people do, back to Louisville.
Yes.
We just had four Youth Performing Arts students from the Youth Performing Arts School sing in our little concert performance of Telemann's Don Quixote this past weekend.
Nice.
Great program and great students, so we were delighted to have them. You two, I guess, met when you were studying together or singing together?
We were singing together.
Yeah.
We lived down the block from each other in New York, like literally yards away from each other for years, and we never met. We were in a show together at the Metropolitan Opera, but her part was sung from the pit and mine was on the stage, so we never met.
We never met.
And finally, we got a job together in Boston.
Yes, we were doing Eugene Onegin with the Boston Lyric Opera, and he was Lenski and I was Olga. And yes, life imitated art, and we fell in love, although thankfully... he didn't get killed in the end.
Yes, it didn't quite imitate art in this particular case. Yes, yes, and our audience does know this piece. They are familiar with Onegin. It was performed here just two years ago, about 3 seasons ago. So they're very familiar with the piece. It's a beautiful composition.
Wonderful piece.
Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous. Nice. This is the first time for both of you to sing Werther then. Oh, and I should mention, just for our audience out there, that does mean that you eventually did get married.
we did get married. We actually were married here in Louisville, although we lived in New York.
And when was this?
This was 2.5 years ago.
That's right. Summer 2006.
I remember it well.
Yes. Way a long time ago.
Oh,
and
yes.
then we recently had a baby, and we decided that we would much rather raise the baby near family and friends, and we thought about all of the places that our family and friends were, and most of our family and friends were here.
And your hearts came back to Louisville.
And our hearts came back to Louisville.
His name is Jonah?
Yes, his name is Jonah. He's 10 months old, just learning to walk.
He's delightful. He came to a party about a week and a half ago that we had.
Yeah.
He's going to be another opera singer, I'm sure.
He's already trying.
Yes.
So, Charlotte, this is something new for you. Just a couple of quick moments. It's rare for the mezzo-soprano, to sing the leading lady, if you will.
It is.
There is a bad habit in opera about
very
having
bad.
Mezzo sing the witches, the britches, as we say, the pants
right.
rolls, and then those other not-so-nice girls.
Right.
So
yes.
How does it feel to sink your teeth into this role of Charlotte?
Oh, I absolutely love this role. It's a wonderful sing. It's a wonderful character to delve into. It's wonderful to play opposite my husband and actually really feel love and be in love with the person that you're looking at. And it's nice to be the leading role, although it is much more exhausting than the roles
absolutely.
That I would normally do. For instance, I've done a lot of Hermias, and one of them was with Troy Cook in Midsummer
yes.
Night's Dream. And that's a nice medium-sized role. kind of go in and out and get your feature and you're done.
Come in, sing your cameo part, and then go off, have a beer with the backstage crew, and then
you
come
get
in,
a little used to
moment.
Being lazy, isn't it? Yeah.
And Garrett, when I first saw you, it was 2 years ago in Santa Fe. You were singing in Strauss's Daphne. So French repertoire, you've been singing some of it. You sang Tales of Hoffman, the Hoffman character this summer.
Yes.
How do you approach that, the French repertoire? Is it a bit different than some of the other more German?
Yeah. Well, this is the first, this year is the first time I've had some really big French roles in my rep. And I find it wonderful to sing. The lines are long and beautiful. For the tenor arias are great. I really look forward to it. But you also, you know, you get a lot of great tenor arias, say, for example, in the Verdi.
Yes.
And you don't get as often these really nice tender moments where you feel much more subtle emotions and you get to play that, and that's just really rewarding and really nice. And I have to say that Werther is somewhat singular in that, because the only other thing I've done is Faust in French, because the Hoffman was in English, so that's not quite so subtle, Faust.
No, not at all.
Things are a little more
dramatically different,
yes.
Certainly, than Werther. Yeah. Well, it's a delight to have both of you with us for this production, and we're great to have you in the community with Louisville. We hope to see much more of you in the future, too. So thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you,
Garrett.
Thank you.
Now, moving on just a little bit in our story, in Act Two, it's 3 months later, and Charlotte and Albert are now married. Albert asks if Charlotte has any regrets, to which she answers she has none. Werther watches this exchange and is distraught that Charlotte is now married and shows no sign of affection for him. Moments later, Albert returns and confronts Werther regarding any feelings he might still have for Charlotte. Werther denies any emotion and promises himself to be a true and loyal friend to Albert. One of the most joyful characters in opera, especially in this opera, is Sophie. She enters carrying flowers and tries to cheer up the gloomy Werther. So please welcome our Sophie, Karen Vong, to sing Sophie's lovely aria, Du Gai Soleil. Karen Vuong singing the Du Gai Soleil, Sophie's aria from Massenet's Werther. Well, welcome, Karen. Great to have you with us here in Louisville.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am Karen Vuong, soprano from Los Angeles, and this is my first time in Kentucky.
Yes, it is. And you were studying in Los Angeles, but you were also with the Los Angeles Young Artist Program, Los Angeles Opera.
I was very lucky. Right after my bachelor's degree, I was accepted into the Los Angeles Opera Young Artist Program. And through them, I was able to get more exposure and eventually have an opportunity to sing for you.
Well, it's our good fortune that you had this opportunity as well. Have you sung any French repertoire before?
I've participated in Manon at LA Opera, and my mother is actually fluent in French, so you made yet another mother happy. and this is my first French opera.
Hey, wonderful. Well, it's our pleasure to have you in singing this French opera as well. Great to have you here in Louisville. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
I would like to invite to the microphone now our maestro, Joseph Mekovich, and we can talk a little bit about Massenet. Joe, welcome again. It's great to have you back in Louisville.
Nice to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. You were with us 2 years ago. We did the Pearl Fishers. You came in and helped us out tremendously in very short notice. You came back last season to do Il Trovatore,
yes.
Verdi's opera, and now for something slightly, if not dramatically, different, doing Massenet's Werther. What have you been up to, and tell us a little bit about where your career is taking you.
Let's see. This year's been a very exciting year for me. I made my debut at New York City Opera, conducting Butterfly.
Congratulations.
That was good. And then my debut at Deutsche Oper Berlin, conducting Porgy & Bess.
And wonderful.
And I did a Cendrillon, another Massenet opera, in Aspen this summer, too. So it's been a great year for me. I've been very excited. But it's really exciting to be back here amongst familiar surroundings and familiar orchestras and wonderful friends up on stage, too. So it's been great to be back here.
And wonderful friends out there in the audience, too.
Outstanding, yes.
Yes. And you are connected to the Birmingham Opera, is that correct?
Yes, I am the principal conductor of Opera Birmingham in Birmingham, Alabama.
How long have you been with them?
This will be my fifth season.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. Thank you. Good. And they like it when you get out there and do other things.
They do, yes.
Yes, very nicely. So let's talk a little bit about Massenet, if you will. Three seasons ago. It may be more than that. My numbers escaped me a little bit. But we produced here in Kentucky before my time. My predecessor produced Massenet's Thaïs. Certainly, audiences are familiar with his most popular opera, Manon. Mm-hmm. Many people are familiar with Cendrillon, which is Cinderella's story that he created. Most of these, I guess, would be looking at the late 19th century. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Manon was in 1884. Mm-hmm. Werther premiered in 1892 in Vienna. So about 10 years later is Werther. How do you approach Massenet as opposed to the other classic French, Gounod, if you will, even as you did the Pro Fishers from Bizet?
Well, Massenet is sort of a transitional figure in terms of French composers. When you think of Gounod and you think of Bizet, everyone has been sort of up here describing the French style. I've heard the word smooth, lyric. Christine used the word an arch. That's definitely what the French music is about. It's the subtlety of line. We use the big word égalité and evenness that we try to achieve. You definitely heard that in the duet with Charlotte and Werther, how it started from virtually nothing and did a wonderful crescendo and then brought you back down again, that wonderful arc. Italian music would hit you right in the face, you know? And then you know exactly when to clap instead of what I see here in your face is this awe as it brings you into these very intimate moments. But Massenet is a dream at capturing this intimacy in Werther, especially these private moments during this what our radio audience didn't see, but the television audience and the people here did see these intimate moments are almost private, and he captures it with the colors in the orchestra. Miss Lisa Hassan here at the piano does a great job, but it's the orchestra that Massenet, even more so than Bizet and Gounod, has started to really use as another character. And this has definitely been influenced by a gentleman in Germany named Richard Wagner, who was infecting everybody at this time in Europe. And Massenet had recently gone, before he started composing Werther, he had recently gone to Bayreuth and heard some of this music coming out of this man. And there's a lot of, instead of the melody reigning supreme all the time, even though there's glorious melody in Werther, you have simple declamatory text just the words coming out. You heard that in the very the opening number with the gentleman up here, where the words are under this wonderful carpet of French sound, and that was influenced by Wagner for sure. So Massenet is now playing with this and laying the groundwork for my favorite opera, which is Pelléas et Mélisande by Debussy.
Yeah, that's great. And in a sense, all those colors coming out of our orchestra are characters or tools theatrically to be used in the production itself.
Absolutely. There are themes that are you cannot use the word leitmotif because that would be a big faux pas. But there are themes, there are melodies that represent certain ideals of love, of Werther. And the instruments, too, are very much a part of it. The harp is always there when we're speaking of love. And
sure.
It also introduces a really great instrument that we're not used to hearing in the opera pit. Is the saxophone is a part in this orchestra, which is something when you
something
go in,
new,
something very new.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Joe. It's a wonderful description of what we're about to hear coming up with our performances of Massenet's Werther. So, okay. Maestro Joe Mekovich, thank you for joining us. Yes. And working with Joe on this production and certainly working with us through next season is our accompanist today, Lisa Hassan. So welcome, Lisa. We're glad to have you here. That's a troop. So the performances Friday, November 28th and Sunday, November 30th in Whitney Hall at the Kentucky Center. We hope to see you all there. To purchase your tickets, you may purchase them by calling 502-584-7777 or 1-800-690-9236. You can also reach us online at www.kyopera.org. And I see Carol Larson working her way up here, but we do have one more number to sing yet, Carol. So just bear with us for a moment. This is from the Act 3, getting into the final act of Werther. Charlotte is at home, alone on Christmas Eve. She is reading letters sent to her by an increasingly desperate Werther. She is moved by his words and thinks about the young man she couldn't marry. Sophie enters and tries to cheer her up, but she is inconsolable. Werther enters, and Charlotte tries in vain to seem indifferent to his presence. He recites a poem that she is particularly fond of and senses she is moved by it. She bids him farewell, leaving him to think of suicide. He sends a note to Albert asking to borrow his pistols, to which Albert obliges. Please welcome to the microphone Elizabeth Batten, our Charlotte, and her husband, Garrett Sorensen, for our Werther. Elizabeth will sing first the beautiful mezzo aria, Va, laisse couler mes larmes, and then Garrett will sing the stunningly lyrical poem, Pourquoi me réveiller? So welcome Elizabeth first, and then Garrett Sorensen.
Oh,
You just heard Gerrit Sorensen singing Werther's Aria pour cour me réveiller, and before that you heard Elizabeth Batten singing Va laisser couler mes larmes, also from the third act of Massenet's Werther. Performances of Kentucky Opera's Werther will be Friday, November 28th at 8 p.m. and Sunday, November 30th at 2 p.m. in Whitney Hall at the Kentucky Center. And just a reminder, 584-7777 or 1-800-690-9236 to purchase tickets. You can also reach us on our website, www.kyopera.org. I want to thank our audience today, both in the studio and out there on the airwaves. I want to thank Louisville Public Media and Classical 90.5 and Metro TV for helping us out on this program. And thank you, Carol Larson, for joining us again today and inviting us into your home, this studio. We are delighted to be here, and we hope to see all of you at Werther.
Thank you, David. And a wonderful thank you to our wonderful performers, our singers, our accompanist, maestro, David Roth, General Director of the Kentucky Opera. Again, I'm Carol Larson. Also want to remind you that today our broadcast audio engineer was Andrew High, and our house sound engineer was P. Vincent Nevitt. Thank you for joining us for Lunchtime Classics, and good afternoon.